IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush may have surprised a lot of people with his 2.5-hour trip to Baghdad International Airport on Thanksgiving, but many in the media are questioning the White House's methods. The extraordinary steps the White House took to conceal Mr. Bush's whereabouts were undertaken primarily to ensure his safety, his aides said yesterday. But several of the editors, news directors, and producers responsible for directing coverage of the Bush administration said that they found aspects of the White House strategy to be deceptive, excessively secretive, and disruptive of the relationship between writer and editor. One editor objected to a briefing a White House spokeswoman gave to reporters in Crawford early Wednesday afternoon, announcing that Bush would be spending Thanksgiving at his ranch. To Philip Taubman, Washington bureau chief of the New York Times, that briefing appeared to constitute, quote, deliberate deception. Elsewhere in Iraq, American soldiers played volleyball and ate turkey for Thanksgiving while remembering comrades slain by insurgents. A U.S. commander warned troops to watch their friends because suicides were on the rise. Their tents and dormitories in a military compound next to Baghdad's mother-of-all-battles mosque were decorated with papier-mâché turkeys and orange streamers. The soldiers marked the day with sports and a concert amid what seems to be a troubling trend of suicide among enlisted personnel. Since April, at least 17 Americans, 15 Army soldiers, and 2 Marines have taken their own lives in Iraq. At least 24 non-combat deaths, some possible suicides, are under investigation. A former Iraqi general died while under American interrogation, the U.S. military said Thursday. An air defense general captured October 5th in a raid near the Syrian border was being questioned Wednesday while in American custody in Qaim near the Syrian border when he lost consciousness after complaining he didn't feel well. He was pronounced dead by a U.S. military physician. The cause of death and interrogation techniques are under investigation, but Malhoush's head was not hooded during questioning, the 82nd Airborne said. More news after this.
I'm a good driver. I look for cars. I pay attention. I should have seen the little girl in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
In an effort to make it easier for pets to travel with their owners in Europe, the European Commission on Thursday proposed issuing wallet-sized passports for dogs, cats, and ferrets. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
It's time to venture again into the far, far, far out frontiers of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you for another spin around the wondrous world of truth in advertising, with Consumer Reports magazine being our chief guide. First, let's stop by the galaxy of incredibly shrinking packages, always a fun way for companies to jack up prices in the hope that consumers won't notice. Got a new baby? Maybe you like to use Pampers newborn swaddlers diapers. What you won't like is that the maker, Procter & Gamble, has quietly cut the number of swaddlers per package from 48 to 40. Yet you pay the same price to get less product, a sneaky 17% price hike. Likewise, Wegmans Supermarket downsized its yogurt cup from 8 ounces to 6. But instead of trying to hide the change, Wegmans label actually brags about the ripoff, declaring in happy red type, smaller size, bigger taste, same price. Then there are some product promises that make you go, huh? Procter & Gamble, for example, has a new man's body wash sold under its Old Spice label. It's apparently meant for those sweaty times when men might feel that more than plain old soap is needed. Yet the label makes a bold promise that most of us wouldn't think necessary. Won't wash away testosterone. Many come-ons require attention to the small print, such as the ad for a chain of clubs called 24-Hour Fitness. Then, in tiny type, you learn, not all clubs open 24 hours. There's also Marriott Hotels, which puts a bottle of spring water in your room, saying, please enjoy. But the small print says, it'll cost you $4.50. This is Jim Hightower saying, the prize for the No Fooling Award, however, goes to a swimming pool supply company that offers this hot deal. Buy first item at double normal price, get the second identical item absolutely free.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
Life.
Right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Day. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937, or you can email during the program by addressing your missive to Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. Names in the news here very quickly. The National Transportation Safety Board has ruled that pilot error caused the plane crash that killed Senator Paul Wellstone and seven others just before the 2002 election last year. The way it's reported by the Associated Press, the twin prop King Air A100 carrying Wellstone, his wife, daughter, and three campaign workers stalled. The plane stalled when the flight crew slowed it too quickly on its approach to the airport in northern Minnesota. The plane lost altitude, veered sharply, sheared off treetops, and crashed 2.5 miles short of the runway, killing all aboard. A spokesman for the NTSB said the flight crew did not monitor and maintain minimum speed. And interviews conducted after the crash, according to the NTSB, revealed what are described as shortcomings in the proficiency of both the pilot, who was 55, and the co-pilot, who was 30. During the investigation, NTSB investigators learned of two instances when co-pilots took the controls from Richard Connery, the pilot, the 55-year-old, on previous flights, as he flew Wellstone to campaign appearances. Just 3 days before the fatal crash, Connery activated the wrong switch and caused the plane to pitch downward when it was 300 feet off the ground. The co-pilot corrected that particular action. After this information was presented by the investigators, the NTSB voted unanimously to accept the finding that pilot error was to blame. Wellstone's campaign manager in his three Senate races, Jeff Blodgett, said the findings were extremely disturbing. Jeff Blodgett, who spoke for Wellstone's two surviving sons, said, quote, it's now crystal clear the crash didn't have to happen and never should have happened. Investigators had looked at the possibility that ice on the wings had contributed to the accident. They discounted that. No mechanical problems were found. Toxicology tests revealed neither pilot had been drinking or using drugs. According to the NTSB, the pilots were flying too fast as they approached the runway and didn't put their landing gear down soon enough. Trying to overcome the mistake, they slowed too much, and the plane went from 190 miles an hour to 87 miles an hour in the final 90 seconds of the flight, and that apparently caused it to crash. The this is 10 days old. I don't know how we missed this. But the story was sent in to us tonight. The brother of Jessica Lynch is being sent to Iraq. You know, he's in the military. He was the one riding in the car with her when they had the homecoming parade. Relatives in Palestine, West Virginia, have said Army Specialist Greg Lynch, Jr. is being deployed to Iraq. He is a member of the, he recently became a member of the 160th Special Ops Aviation Regiment that is headquartered in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Lynch had been assigned to the 159th Aviation Regiment, was reassigned to the 160th, and is being sent overseas to Iraq. Jeez. As you'll remember, Greg Lynch, acted as a family spokesman to the national media after his sister was rescued April 1st by U.S. forces from that hospital in Nasiriyah in Iraq. And it was Greg Lynch who introduced her to the national media at her return to Wirt County, their home county, in July, and rode with her in uniform in a parade through their hometown during the homecoming celebration. The family, Lynch's family, could not be reached for immediate comment when the story came out. Now, I don't know what has happened since then, but Jim, who sent me the story, put in the subject line, "Does it get any dirtier than this?" Makes you wonder, doesn't it? I guess we are to just believe and accept that normal rotation of troops indicated that Greg Lynch should go to Iraq. Okay, that's two. Well, more than two. The Wellstone family, the Lynch family, and now the pig man, Rush Limbaugh. ABC is reporting something very unusual. ABC News says that Limbaugh may have violated state money laundering laws in the way he handled the money he used to buy those illegal drugs to which he was addicted. This is according to law enforcement officials in Florida and New York. They have told ABC News. Now, if he's convicted of this, this is a first-degree felony punishable by up to 30 years in prison. So aside from his trafficking in narcotics and his dealing in illegal drugs, now money laundering. What he did is very typical, I think, of someone who is dealing with an addiction, and extremely typical of someone of Limbaugh's ilk who comes across as being very smart but is, in fact, very stupid. Authorities say they became aware 2 years ago during an investigation of New York Bank U.S. Trust that Limbaugh had taken between 30 and 40 cash withdrawals from his account in amounts just under 10 grand. Now, as you and I know, amounts at 10,000 or over are automatically reported to the IRS, to the Investigative Division of IRS, Treasury Department. That law has been in effect for a long time. That is not vis-a-vis the USA Patriot Act. That law has been in effect since the war on drugs. Hell, it probably goes back to the Nixon years. So what Limbaugh was Limbaugh's lawyers confirm that a bank employee of U.S. Trust in New York personally delivered cash to Limbaugh at his New York studio in amounts of $9,900 or so on 30 to 40 different occasions. Now, an expert on financial crime said, quote, "That in itself is a suspicious activity. They are structuring their transaction to avoid reporting to the government, and the bank is required to file with the federal government something called a suspicious activity report." Now, Limbaugh's lawyers say, no, it was the bank that suggested this arrangement. The bank. No. The financial expert on financial crime said, now the problem will be, did Limbaugh assist his drug supplier in hiding the proceeds from the government. Limbaugh's lawyers, of course, say he didn't do that. Of course not. And that he is being falsely accused by those who want to force him off the air. And officials say a decision on whether to prosecute on the money laundering charges will be made in the next few weeks. So, you know, I said Limbaugh is finished when he got busted, and I stand by that. He may hold on for a little longer. But if there's anything law enforcement likes, especially IRS or Treasury Department or FBI or the Justice Department, it is a high-profile sting. Now, you might say, well, yeah, but this is Rush Limbaugh. He's responsible for the Republican Revolution as much or more so than Newt Gingrich. Maybe so, but he is a chunk of raw meat to right-wingers. They couldn't care less. To the Bush crime family, Limbaugh is a useful idiot. And if the time comes when the Bush crime family can gain traction and to prove themselves to be the law and order geeks that they say they are, by tossing Limbaugh to the prosecutors, they will do it in a heartbeat. Limbaugh's days are numbered. His days are numbered. Money laundering. You wonder how many of those 30 to 40, 10,000, what is that, $500,000 right there, how many of those transactions wound up with the drug cartels in Afghanistan or Colombia or Mexico or the south of France? How much of Limbaugh's earnings went directly to terrorist supporting drug organizations? Now, not that Limbaugh cares. When you're a junkie, you don't give a damn if somebody cuts your mother's throat, as long as you have your junk. That's it. I mean, you can't go beyond that. You simply can't. You may want to, but you cannot. Until the law comes breathing down your neck and you realize you're facing possibly enough time that could mean you'll spend your golden years not behind the golden mic, but in a golden jail cell in the state of Florida. Or worse, in a federal lockup in the Midwest, where the sun don't shine. Where your cellmate wants to introduce you to a new prison game called husband and wife. And then all of a sudden, you see, no more of this, well, I think I'll cure myself here. Then it becomes, oh my God, I'm in need of help. Mm-hmm. Money laundering. Of course. Absolutely. A study, experiments conducted at Dartmouth College indicate that racism can make you stupid. Have you heard about this? There was an unusual and striking series of experiments conducted at Dartmouth College. And they used the brain imaging equipment and a crew of undergraduate volunteers. According to the findings, the more biased people are, the more their brain power is taxed by contact with someone of another race as they struggle not to say or do anything offensive. The effect is so strong, the team found, that even a 5-minute conversation with a black person left some of the white people unable to perform well on a test of cognitive ability. A professor of psychology at Stanford University, who was not involved in research, said just having a prejudice makes you stupider. It is really interesting. You want to hear what they did? The research team began. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about it when we come back out of the break. This is kind of interesting, but we've known this inherently, haven't we? You and I. That racism or bigotry or bias or prejudice is usually evidenced by people who are dumber than dog droppings, right? And now you have physical proof that that is the case. I'll tell you a little bit more about this. It kind of ties in with the decision by the Massachusetts Supreme Court today. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Let's see. There I was sitting around the leader with the table with foreign leaders, looking at Colin Powell and Condi Rice. Yeah.
My name is Ray. Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get your stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night on the IE America Radio Network.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So this experiment conducted at Dartmouth College using psychological tests and also brain imaging worked like this. They took a group of white Dartmouth undergraduates and asked them to perform what's called an implicit association test. That's a test widely used to measure unconscious racial bias. The subject is given a screen and two buttons. First, the subject is asked to push the button on the left if the word that appears on the screen is a positive word, like beauty, or a common first name for a white person, like Nancy. Otherwise, they're instructed to push the button on the right. Now, after they have that session, the test is changed slightly, and the names given are those more common for a black person, such as Tyrone. The greater the difference between the reaction times in the two sessions, the more the person has trouble associating black names, so-called, with positive concepts. Next, and now remember, we're using white people here. Next, the team had each of the students speak briefly with a black experimenter, a professor, and then perform a test of cognitive ability called the Stroop test. Now, these subjects showed that the higher a bias score the student had in the IAT test, the implicit association test, the worse they did on the Stroop test after speaking with a black experimenter. Now, to uncover what was behind this effect, the team used a functional magnetic resonance imager, which is able to peer inside the brain and take a look at the activity in different areas. Each student was then shown a series of photographs, some of white males and some of black males. The more biased a student was, the more the team saw a certain area of their brain activate, an area associated with what is called executive control. That's conscious efforts to direct your thinking. This is a sign the brain is struggling not to think inappropriate thoughts. Are you still with me? Is everybody tuned to a different station? Almost done. Based on the findings, the team suggested that when a biased person interacts with someone of another race, even briefly, it exhausts the part of the brain in charge of executive control, leaving it temporarily unable to perform tasks. The report is the first time that researchers have shown a connection between racial bias and the parts of the brain responsible for higher functions. Now, this is part of a new movement, apparently, to study the neurological basis of different social phenomena, in particular racism. One study by a New York University researcher found that biased white people are more likely to have greater activity in their amygdala, a portion of the brain associated with negative emotions like fear. When shown the picture of a black person, they don't know. Eeks! A black person! Another study conducted at Stanford by a researcher and other scientists showed that the brains of white people process white and black faces differently from the moment they see them. Well, yeah, I mean, you don't need research to figure that one out. But isn't that interesting, huh? Oh, my God. If you're, and I think most, if not all, white people are become racist in this society. We don't start out racist. I don't believe that black folks start out prejudice or white people start out racist. And remember, only whites can be racist, because racism is a term that I know it's misused, but only a dominant race can impose racism. Racism is a system by which laws are written and social mores are established that determine that people of the race not of the dominant race are less human. So it is impossible in this society to call a black person a racist. You may call him or her prejudiced, biased, bigoted, pro-black, anti-white, but you cannot legitimately call a black person a racist. But white people, I don't know. It's something that we have to learn. We're not born with it. And once we do learn it, if we're honest, it takes an entire lifetime for whites to shed themselves of racism, and very few of us actually do.
Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Extreme close-ups of nature's family relationships may not show the whole picture. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The scientific tree of life is much like a big family tree. It shows how different species are related. This idea has been around for more than 250 years, but the tree of life keeps changing. New findings allow scientists to rearrange branches, or at least some of the twigs. For example, researchers have been looking at small parts of an organism's genetic makeup called ribosomal RNA, but that might be too narrow a focus. Jonathan Eisen, a biologist at the Institute for Genomic Research in Rockville, Maryland, is using a relatively new approach that takes a broader view. Eisen studies all the genetic material in bacteria to determine how different species are related.
If we look at the entire genetic content of different bacteria and ask how are all of the genes related to all of the genes from another bacteria, do we get the same answer that people got by studying a single gene, this ribosomal RNA? And can we use this study of the whole genome to get a more precise picture of how bacteria are related to each other and how the history of bacteria occurred over time?
Eisen says the organism Microsporidia is an example. It was thought to be an unusual parasite related to humans and plants.
More recently, someone has sequenced the whole genome of one of these organisms, and analyzing all of the proteins from the genome of this organism, people have come to the conclusion that, in fact, this is a fungi. It's nothing unusual at all. The ribosomal RNA gene from this organism was what was unusual.
Gaining a more accurate understanding of nature's linkages has real-world applications. For example, doctors can now use drugs designed to treat fungal diseases to fight Microsporidia infections. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Hi, fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
You know that's a game that I hate to lose. And I'm feeling the strain.
About 26 before the hour. Who's this? Who's this on line two? The Governator? The Governator, welcome to the program.
Hey, hello, Malloy. How have you been?
I'm doing fine, sir. Is this, by God, it is, isn't it?
This is Arnold, your Governator. I wanted to thank you for giving me all your help during my campaign.
No, you got that wrong, pal. I mocked you and made fun of you. And by the way, how's the investigation about your groping coming?
Hey, you gave me a good idea, Malloy. When you asked me about how I'm going to cure the budget wars of California,
yeah,
I'm going to come up with a groper tax. What happens here is everybody in California, they get a groper handbook.
Yeah.
And they keep the names of everybody that gropes them.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, they come back and they give it to us and we collect taxes.
You're really sick, aren't you? I mean,
No, Malloy. No, listen. It will collect on how much a person weighs.
How much they weigh?
Right. The less they weigh, the more the taxes are.
I don't understand that.
Well, it encourages men to grope fat women that way. You understand that? No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I do understand that. Yeah.
Hey, baby.
Well, I saw...
I'm sorry. There was someone walking by, Malloy. What did you say?
I saw a picture of your swearing in, and your wife looked a little bit...
I didn't swear, Malloy. I kept my language clean, and I kept to the script.
No.
Honest.
Okay. In the ceremony that made you governor, I saw the picture of you and your wife, Maria Shriver.
Oh, yeah.
She's very slim, isn't she?
Yeah, you could use her for a pencil. Listen, hey, Malloy, I was thinking, what do you think of this? I don't know. Does California have a state vegetable?
Garlic.
Are you sure about that?
Well, I'm not sure. It's either garlic or it could be ketchup. It may be the artichoke.
I'm thinking about, I'm a health nut, and
yeah.
I think that me eating vegetables over the years has helped me maintain a pretty good physique. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, sure.
Well, I was thinking maybe we should change the state vegetable to something else.
I'm almost afraid to ask. What would that be, Governator?
I was thinking maybe Ronald Reagan. Get it? Vegetable.
Listen, it's great to hear from you, sir.
One more thing.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
One more thing before you leave me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You asked me a question last time. And I wasn't prepared for it, and you left me hanging in silence.
For some reason, I'm forgetting the question.
Well, I want you to ask me any political question that you can think of, Malloy. And this time, I've been taking political talk.
Political, okay.
So I know how to answer your questions now.
Okay. What are you going to do now that you're governor of California to solve this massive financial crisis engineered by your Republican predecessors and the Bush crime family? What are you going to do to solve this this financial mess?
Malloy, this is a very good question, and it deserves much consideration. Now, I will take this under advisement and get back to you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Have a good night, Malloy.
Yeah, you too, Governor, and thanks a lot for checking in. Oh, my God. Boy, you give these guys a little bit of publicity, and especially, you can understand, he's a Hollywood actor, first, last, and always. Any publicity is good publicity. There's no such thing as bad publicity to somebody like Schwarzenegger. And again, people have to be very, very careful in how his name is pronounced there. Massachusetts. That state's highest court today issued what's being called a landmark decision, striking a blow against discrimination. Isn't that what it is? Sure it is. A decision that makes Massachusetts the first American state to no longer deny couples the right to marry solely because they happen to be the same sex. Matt Coles, the director of the ACLU's Lesbian and Gay Rights Project, said, quote, "This court ruling says that individuals who are police officers, firefighters, teachers, people who serve in our military, people who pay taxes, cannot be denied the same civil rights as other couples simply because they're gay or lesbian. The court today recognized that a constitution that protects individual rights does not allow government to say that only some families will be protected," end quote. Now, I've been watching today, I broke some of my cardinal rules and tuned into cable news television today, watching the coverage and the reaction to this decision by the Massachusetts State Supreme Court. And it's what you would expect from the mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging right wing. And what is not the least bit surprising to me is that every spokesman or spokeswoman trotted out by the cable networks to in opposition to this ruling have been from Christian organizations. Christian organizations. And some of you people wonder why these fake Christians make me want to vomit. Anyway, the executive director of the ACLU of Massachusetts said, quote, "With its decision, Massachusetts has paved the way for other states to protect the rights of other couples, gay or straight, to share in the benefits ordinarily associated with marriage. Input and access to medical information, medical insurance. There's so much at stake here that so deeply transcends the bigotry and the penny-ante prejudices of these Christian right-wingers who would no more want to see a stable gay or lesbian marriage than they want to burn their little white asses in hell. And it's disgusting. There are legal issues here. Rights of inheritance, parental rights, all sorts of rights that are involved here. The Christian Coalition of America called for amendments to the Massachusetts U.S. Constitution to ban same-sex marriage. Oh, the queers are coming! The queers are coming! Oh, my God! Let us do something to protect ourselves from the queers! They are here to destroy us and devour our children and rape our husbands and molest our wives! The queers are here! Oh! Oh! I just don't quite get it. This pathological attitude on the part of a huge segment of non-homosexual people against gay people. I don't quite get it. What is it? Now, we've looked at this before. Is it projection? Is it with a lot of white men, it's simply their horror to realize in their private moments deep inside that, you know, the picture of a gay man sometimes, or a naked man sometimes gives them an erection. And, oh, my God, oh, saints preserve us, I got to kill that real quick, don't I? But women, what is it with heterosexual women? Now, it's again, this is only my experience. Heterosexual women who are active in the evangelical or Pentecostal or this sick, psychopathic Christian movement in this country are the ones who are anti-gay, anti-lesbian. Just normal heterosexual women, for the most part, either couldn't care less or look at the idea of gays and gay marriage and gay unions as an acceptable fact. Mitt Romney, the Republican governor of Massachusetts, says marriage is, quote, an institution between a man and a woman. Christian Coalition President in Massachusetts, one Roberta Combs, said it is reprehensible for left-wing judges such as these four radical Massachusetts judges to disregard the will of the majority of the American people who believe that marriage is only the union of one man and one woman. Well, you know, this woman ought to take a deep breath and calm down and understand that there was a time in the history of this country when every white person believed that every black person was only 3/5 of a human being, and get over it. But it's been my experience in my life that there's no rational basis, of course not, for anti-gay bigotry or prejudice. None. Now, marriage is a very conservative institution. It is a stabilizing institution. Whether you are single or divorced or married or what have you, whether you're gay or straight, let's face it, marriage for the most part is stabilizing, which is not to say that marriage is necessarily good for everybody. Look at the violence and abuse and the murder and the mayhem. But marriage itself, coupling, you know, us against the world, is a good thing. Basically, it's a good thing. Now, a lot of people say, no, it's not, Malloy. The marriage unit, whether you call it husband, wife, or family, whatever you want to call it, is the basic unit of capitalism, and therefore it's bad. Okay, fine, if you want to politically discuss marriage, that case can be made. But I'm speaking from an emotional or psychological or mental health standpoint. If there is not abuse, physical, psychological, or emotional, if two people are together in a loving relationship and they have children, whether they're same sex or different sex, what is the problem with that? Well, there is none. There is no problem with that. It's a good thing. Today's ruling will end discrimination against gay couples regarding things like pension benefits, medical insurance, hospital visitation, inheritance rights. See, these crippled Christians, which is what they are, these limping, crippled, heartbroken Christians, these sad cases, these defilers of Christ, these people like these Christian coalition types who would spit on the body of Christ. If Christ were to appear and say, "What are you doing?" They would spit on him. They would beat him. They would mace him. They would lock him up. But what they don't talk about, these crippled Christians, is what the ruling actually means, aside from allowing people to dignify their love with a civil union or a marriage. It also has to do with pension benefits, medical insurance, hospital visitation, inheritance rights, custodial agreements. My God. So what is the point to go forward with this Christian fundamentalist crap to to try to ban same-sex marriages, to try to pass dangerous federal constitutional amendments, to try to destroy all of the domestic partnership laws and all these measures that state and local governments have passed to protect same-sex relationships? What's the point? Why are these Christians so motivated by such bigotry and sickness and bile? I've watched these people all day on television today. They're disgusting, just on and on. It's like, I don't know what it is. It's like they're terrified that some huge hulking queer is going to come and rape them or something. I don't get this. Two provinces in Canada, Ontario and British Columbia, allow same-sex marriages. Three states, Hawaii, Vermont, and California, have some legal mechanism for protecting gay couples. More than 100 cities in the United States have adopted domestic partnership laws. I don't understand. I don't understand. You want to just last month in Massachusetts, the ACLU there filed a friend of the court brief on behalf of a 5-year-old boy who's being denied the Social Security survivor benefits that ordinarily go to a child when a parent dies. If you have children under 18 and you die, your kid will get money up to the point that he or she is 18. But not this little boy. The boy was raised by two women. And his non-biological mother... Two women, one of whom actually carried his little fetus zygote baby and gave birth to him, and the other was the secondary mother. The two of them together were parents to this boy, but the non-biological mother, who also happened to be the family's principal breadwinner, died unexpectedly of a brain aneurysm at age 38. The Social Security Administration refuses to recognize this boy as her child, even though she raised him with her partner, the biological mother, supported him, and gave him her name.
Oh, no. Ain't gonna go there. Couple of dykes raise a boy, and the one dies. Well, good. Another dyke in hell.
It's sick. ACLU pointed to another case in Alaska, in which the state denied a woman with dire medical problems health coverage, even though her partner worked for the state. That relationship, the state of Alaska said, is not one they recognize. But when she applied to that same state for Medicaid, the state said she didn't qualify because she was being supported by her partner. It's like grind them any way you can. Destroy the queers. Kill them. And every time this issue comes up on whatever level, you hear these right-wing, usually fundamental Christians talking about the homosexual agenda. They're trying to take over. And contrary to what these thugs argue, lesbian and gay families, in most cases, get no legal protection in this country. All they want is equal rights. That's all. I don't understand this. Maybe you do, and I'd like to hear from you. 800-TALK-YES.
on this cold.
Oh, here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
more tissues.
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
Love and marriage.
I go together like a horse and carriage.
This I'll tell you, brother.
Brother?
Can't have one without the other.
So, Too Stupid to Be President was stopped in the airplane hangar over at Heathrow Airport where they're hiding him. And, asked about this ruling by the Massachusetts Supreme Court, and he said, well, you know, marriage is a sacred institution for regular people, and I will work with Congress to defend it. Of course, it's not just Too Stupid to Be President. Don't forget who signed the Defense of Marriage Act a few years back, our good friend Bill Clinton. Rather than having the courage to say to these people, are you out of your minds, and vetoing it, so it's not just Too Stupid to Be President, although he is, in every instance, George Bush is, need I say it, the dumbest man ever to yadda yadda yadda. Have I said yet tonight how much? Yeah, I think I have already. So here we are, Massachusetts, a Supreme Court ruling, which will probably be appealed by whom? I mean, how do you... Who was the aggrieved party? The aggrieved party, I think seven gay and lesbian couples, had the ruling come down in their favor. So who appeals this now? Does the governor, Mitt Romney, he of the Mormon faith? Yeah, probably so. Don is calling from Pontiac, Michigan. Hey, Don.
Hey, hello.
How you doing?
You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I had you on speakerphone while I was listening, so I wanted to switch it.
Well,
I wanted to comment on the Massachusetts thing.
Sure.
First of all, I think to predicate that with the fact that I am gay, and for 15 years I have been contending that the only way gay rights will truly occur in this nation is through marriage.
Well, I would think so, because so much of what passes for the nation's commerce is based on whether or not you can produce a marriage certificate.
Right. Well, it's also the fact that I grew up Catholic, very devout, and I'm over 50. And I can remember on many an occasion, you know, with the church's position on divorce, yet people in my family saying, well, okay, but the church doesn't accept it, but they are legally married.
Right, right.
And so, you know, and politically looking back and seeing, you know, if you heard any of the...
Hey, Don, can I get you to hold on?
Sure.
All right, I want to hear what you got to say, but we have to take a break, all right?
Okay.
We'll come back and pick it up right where we left off. And if you are on hold, please stick around because we want to hear what you got to say about the ruling by the Massachusetts Supreme Court today. Stay with us. In other words, I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York.
George W. Bush may have surprised a lot of people with his 2.5-hour trip to Baghdad International Airport on Thanksgiving, but many in the media are questioning the White House's methods. The extraordinary steps the White House took to conceal Mr. Bush's whereabouts were undertaken primarily to ensure his safety, his aides said yesterday. But several of the editors, news directors, and producers responsible for directing coverage of the Bush administration said that they found aspects of the White House strategy to be deceptive, excessively secretive, and disruptive of the relationship between writer and editor. One editor objected to a briefing a White House spokeswoman gave to reporters in Crawford early Wednesday afternoon, announcing that Bush would be spending Thanksgiving at his ranch. To Philip Taubman, Washington bureau chief of the New York Times, that briefing appeared to constitute, quote, deliberate deception. Soldiers with the Army's 3rd Infantry Division charged into Iraq in April short of the ammunition their commanders had said was necessary to invade, according to a post-war evaluation of the fighting. It was one of a number of supply problems encountered by the 3rd Infantry before and during its 21-day dash to Baghdad from Kuwait. During the run-up to the war, division commanders requested additional ammunition be delivered to frontline units. The request was approved, but the troops could not obtain all the ordnance despite months of war preparation. A former Iraqi general died while under American interrogation, the U.S. military said Thursday. An air defense general captured October 5th in a raid near the Syrian border was being questioned Wednesday while in American custody in Qaim near the Syrian border when he lost consciousness after complaining he didn't feel well. He was pronounced dead by a U.S. military physician. The cause of death and interrogation techniques are under investigation, but Malhoush's head was not hooded during questioning, the 82nd Airborne said. More news after this.
I'm a good driver. I look for cars. I pay attention. I should have seen the little girl in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Petite Sonia Thomas wolfed down 7¾ pounds of holiday food in 12 minutes on Wednesday to defeat a pair of 400-pound rivals and win the Thanksgiving Invitational Eating Contest. The 106-pound Thomas of Alexandria, Virginia, devoured massive helpings of yams, green beans, cranberry sauce, and turducken, a turkey stuffed with duck, chicken, and sausage, to win the event. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
It's time to venture again into the far, far, far out frontiers of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you for another spin around the wondrous world of truth in advertising, with Consumer Reports magazine being our chief guide. First, let's stop by the galaxy of incredibly shrinking packages, always a fun way for companies to jack up prices in the hope that consumers won't notice. Got a new baby? Maybe you like to use Pampers newborn swaddlers diapers. What you won't like is that the maker, Procter & Gamble, has quietly cut the number of swaddlers per package from 48 to 40. Yet you pay the same price to get less product, a sneaky 17% price hike. Likewise, Wegmans Supermarket downsized its yogurt cup from 8 ounces to 6. But instead of trying to hide the change, Wegmans label actually brags about the ripoff, declaring in happy red type, smaller size, bigger taste, same price. Then there are some product promises that make you go, huh? Procter & Gamble, for example, has a new man's body wash, sold under its Old Spice label. It's apparently meant for those sweaty times when men might feel that more than plain old soap is needed. Yet the label makes a bold promise that most of us wouldn't think necessary. Won't wash away testosterone. Many come-ons require attention to the small print, such as the ad for a chain of clubs called 24-Hour Fitness. Then, in tiny type, you learn not all clubs open 24 hours. There's also Marriott Hotels, which puts a bottle of spring water in your room saying, please enjoy. But the small print says it'll cost you $4.50. This is Jim Hightower saying, the prize for the No Fooling Award, however, goes to a swimming pool supply company that offers this hot deal. Buy first item at double normal price, get the second identical item absolutely free.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
I'm floating right there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll reach it.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. So what we're talking about here is a ruling today by the Massachusetts Supreme Court, a 4-3 ruling, that said the state of Massachusetts may not deny the protections, benefits, and obligations conferred by civil marriage to two individuals of the same sex who wish to marry. Depending on your point of view, this either opens the gates of hell into a yawning, heat-emitting abyss, or sets the stage for a common-sense acceptance of the legal privileges and obligations that should go to people who form a civil union, a marriage, whatever you want to call it, regardless of their gender or their sexual orientation. Now, we're talking with Don in Pontiac, Michigan about this. And, Don, you were talking about you're over the age of 50, you're a gay man and Catholic. Boy, that's just pure hell there.
Well, I was raised Catholic.
Oh,
I spent several years in the seminary, but I no longer adhere to the tenets of the Church of Rome.
Okay, I gotcha.
But I... What I'm saying, though, is that from my own history, I have sisters that have divorced and remarried.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mother, no way would she allow them, if they were just living together, to spend the night in her house.
Right.
But, and canonically speaking, their marriage is null and void,
mm-hmm.
Even because it's a second marriage without an annulment.
Right.
But she allowed them, you know, because, well, they're legally married. And I think that if you look at, you know, just Abby Stevenson running for president and, you know, as a divorced man, and then we turn around and look at what we had in 76
mm-hmm.
with Mrs. Ford and Mr. and Mrs. Rockefeller and their history.
Right, right.
Or Ronald Reagan.
Right.
And, of course, three major sponsors of the Defense of Marriage Act of 1996, between them they have 7 marriages.
Oh, sure. The hypocrisy is monumental.
But I think the rulings were all my... And I am absolutely convinced that what will bring gay rights truly home to American gay citizens is marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this particular ruling at this particular time is probably better than sex for Karl Rove.
I think so, too. It gives him more ammunition about how it's necessary to defend against the onslaught of liberals and queers.
Especially with the 6-month hold. Now, everything I've heard today, everything I've read, And I mean, actually, the reason I'm listening to you is because I'm gay. I bought Sirius Radio for OutQ and then found you.
Well, bless your
which
heart.
Which is the gay channel on Sirius Radio.
Yeah, they've got 180 days in the state to come up with a solution for this, right.
But, well, actually, though, the 180 days, those licenses, according to what everybody has been saying today, will be issued no matter what the legislature does.
Mm-hmm.
But what that 180 days is, I think, going to happen is I would not be surprised to see, prior to the Thanksgiving recess, the House of Representatives report out of committee and pass a constitutional amendment. You already have over 100 co-sponsors for this legislation. I wouldn't be surprised to see Bush come back and call the Senate back into session to do the same thing. People think that constitutional amendments take forever. Are you aware of the time frame for the 21st Amendment, the repeal of prohibition?
No.
87 days.
Is that all
it
takes?
From the time it was first proposed until the last state ratified it to put it in effect.
Okay, I don't know if this is a valid argument, but that was an amendment to repeal an amendment. This would be an amendment that will be the first time in this nation's history that an amendment is passed that restricts civil rights.
But you see, you're an intelligent man. You're looking at this from an intelligent level instead of the emotional level that the right wing is going to put through as the fact that gay marriage is going to destroy straight marriage.
But what I'm saying is, regardless of one's feelings about the rightness or not rightness of homosexual marriage, still, surely, people who may be on the fence on this will see this as an assault on civil rights. I think that when
push comes to shove, I think that Dale Kildee, for example, a congressman from Michigan with a very liberal record, but who voted for defense of marriage, will still not put himself into the situation of running for reelection with an opponent who says he's for gay marriage.
I think
that this is going to be the cash cow for the right wing, and they're going to paint the Democrat, anybody who votes against it. I mean, come on, look at the Senate, the liberal Democrats that voted, and the liberal Democrat president who signed the Defense of Marriage Act, which was another 90-day act, by
the way. Well, I would argue with you that Clinton was not a liberal Democrat.
But I mean, you know, the supposed, you know, great gay rights president, et cetera.
I understand.
And I think that once this comes to a vote, I mean, did you hear what the Fabulous Five said today?
I did not.
Of the 9 candidates running for president, you got 3 who are in favor of gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Kucinich, Sharpton, and
Mosley
Braun.
Right.
You have 5 who say they're opposed to gay marriage but are in favor of civil unions. And then you have Senator Lieberman who wants to amend every one of the 1,300 acts one by one. So the 5 and Lieberman, one of them, basically criticized this ruling.
Right.
And I really would not be surprised, especially with the 180-day wait, see a constitutional amendment put out to the states and governors calling state legislatures into special sessions to pass this. Even if it doesn't happen, it hurts people. It'll hurt the Democrats.
Well, that's,
this will be the cash cow. This is going to be what Bush is going to attempt to finally win the White House legally.
Yeah. Well, it'll be. You raise an interesting point, Don. I'm glad you brought it up. Thanks for checking in.
Okay.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if Don's prediction, and I don't doubt for a second that these right wing thugs will attempt to do just that. Now, during the break, I got a couple of emails from people who say things like, well, Mike, you know, I'm a Christian. I try to follow the teachings of Christ. I understand Christ is about love. But, you know, no matter how hard I try, I can't get past the fact that homosexuality is a sin. Well, you know, I don't want to get into a spitting contest with you people. But let me just put it this way. If you can produce for me anything that came from Christ's mouth that was a condemnation of homosexuality, please produce it, because you will have done something then that no Sunday school teacher or preacher or even my sainted grandmother, who was a Southern Baptist fundamentalist, has been able to do. Jesus Christ gave 3 or 4 sermons, I believe, in total. And he addressed those issues, starting when he drove the money changers from the temple. He addressed the issues that I'm assuming he felt were critical to the establishment of, in his mind, in his followers' minds, the kingdom of heaven on earth. All right? Did he address the threat of homosexuality? No, he did not. Did he have anything to say about it? As far as I know, no, he did not. Now, maybe he did. Maybe in the Gnostic Gospels or something in the book of Andrew or the book of something else that says, and burn the queers at the stake. But so far, I have seen none of this. In fact, of his 12 disciples, how many do you suppose were homosexual? Two? Three? Four? And the priesthood? The Church of Rome? I know a lot of people will say, well, Mike, that's not, oh, God, don't go there, Malloy. Them aren't real Christians. That's the Antichrist. You show me a priesthood, I don't care what the religion is, but certainly include fundamentalist Protestantism that does not contain within it people who are because of their orientation or their choice. To me, it doesn't make any difference if you're genetically programmed to be gay or straight. No difference. If it's your choice, what the hell business is it of mine or the state? Now, if you're a moron, if you're a jackass, if you're a fool, whether you're gay or straight and you do not practice safe sex, and you're running around the countryside impregnating each other or killing each other with STDs, then damn you. But that's not what this discussion is about. This discussion is about the civil rights, the human rights of people, regardless of their sexual orientation or their sexual choices. Well, Mike, are you saying that people ought to be able to have sex with children? No. How about dogs? I frankly don't care about dogs, but children, no. We're talking about adults here. Okay, please, so don't run that one past me. Please don't send me an email about that. Please, I'm begging you, all right? Maddie Joan is calling from Brooklyn, our bureau chief there. Hey, Maddie.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing. How about you?
Well, I'm doing all right. You know, this whole Massachusetts thing is kind of bittersweet for me.
Well, I like what our caller from Pontiac just had to say. It is going to be a fundraising tool for the Flying Monkey Right.
Yeah, it'll be a fundraising tool. The reason it's bittersweet for me, of course, is it was about this time last year that my partner of 12 years died.
I'm sorry.
You know, and that was in Massachusetts. And I don't know if you recall the story, but I had to spend 2 weeks of, you know, wrangling with the state of Massachusetts for the body.
Oh, my God.
Let alone anything else. You know, I had to go to the lengths of, you know, getting one of my friends who's like a quote-unquote real girl.
Yeah.
To pose as, you know, my partner's fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know... First of all, the fact that we were both women doesn't matter. The state considered us both men, so I don't even want to go there.
Right. I'll bet you just wrung them out like wet towels.
Yeah, they just loved me.
I'll bet they did, Maddie.
So, here's the thing. While I can see what the last caller was saying, the problem that Bush and his flunkies are going to be facing if they try and pass an amendment, and this is something people don't really know about, there is no federal definition of what is a man and what is a woman. So when Clinton signed the Defense of Marriage Act, it was meaningless.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of that.
Find somebody in the law profession to call in. I dare anybody in the law profession to call in and tell me what the legal definition is of man
mm-hmm.
or woman on a federal level.
Mm-hmm.
There are definitions by a state. But there is no federal definition. So how are you going to pass an amendment? They will have to define it. And
yeah.
They don't want to because it opens up an entire can of worms that nobody wants to open up.
But these people are so weird, these right-wingers, that they just might do it, Maddie Jones.
Well, they might do it, but it can't hold up. Because what are they going to define? They can't define it along chromosome levels.
Yeah.
Because intersex people.
Can't do it.
2001 births, intersex people. I'm one of them. So.
Hey, hold on a second, Maddie Joan. I got to take a break here. Hold on. We'll come back and wrap this up. But I got to make way for a quick break here.
Sick man looking for the doctor's cure. Looking at hands for the lines that were. And if there's a masterpiece of literature.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday, from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages. And you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday, from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're talking about the Massachusetts Supreme Court ruling today, which appears to open the door, at least in that state, to gay marriage. We're talking with Maddie Joan, our Brooklyn, New York Bureau Chief. Where were we?
Okay, we were talking about how you can't define man and woman on a federal level.
Okay.
And the reasons are, one, you can't do it chromosomally. There are literally tens and thousands of, maybe hundreds and thousands of women born every year who are chromosomally XY. So that doesn't fly. Do you deny them marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Do do you deny marriage based on non-procreation? You can't do that because not everybody can have babies.
Right.
Do you deny marriage based on genitalia? No, you can't do that. Do you rescind a marriage then from a man who has penile cancer?
Right, right.
You know, mm-hmm. So...
Well, that's a very interesting point.
It can't be done.
It'll be fun to watch these right-wing thugs turn themselves into contortions.
Well, I don't think they know the can of worms they're opening up here.
Yeah.
And the medical community, you know, we talk a lot about the war industry, but the medical industry has a lot of money tied up in sexual polarity.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that gender has been pretty much proved by... science to be a spectrum rather than a polarity,
right,
just flies over the heads of most doctors, you know, because they deny the existence of intersexuality.
Mm-hmm.
A book by Anne Fausto Sterling, I forget the title, posits that there are in fact five genders, but I don't want to take up your airtime with that, but I do recommend that as a read to your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave you with one parting notion on this whole thing.
All right.
I get really emotional on this, so you'll have to excuse me.
Well, I understand.
Homosexuality, you know, a lot of people in this country, fundamentalists and whatnot, say, well, this country was founded on no homos.
Right.
You know, homosexuality as a thing in and of itself has only existed since 1890. Now, I'm not saying that same-sex love hasn't existed, but homosexuality as a defined concept,
mm-hmm,
has only been around since 1890. That's less than half the history of this country.
Right.
Prior
to that, there was no need for a definition.
No, nobody cared.
Right, I understand.
Sodomy was illegal, but for a variety of reasons, one of which included prostitution.
Right.
So, you know, and sodomy has been overturned in this country. There is absolutely no reason to hang up gay marriage.
That's absolutely true. Maddie Joan, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Appreciate you checking in on the issue. I have to confess, it is a very emotional issue to me. This whole civil rights issue around homosexuality. For some reason, and I don't understand, do not understand, and don't question it. As far as I know, there are 11 of us cousins, and there were 5 aunts and uncles, and yada yada yada. As far as I know, nobody in my extended family happened to be gay, men or women. None of the cousins, even the second cousins that I'm aware of. Now, I don't know. We have a huge. You know, when it gets down to the second and third generation, you start with grandma and grandpa, and they have 5 kids, and then they turn around and have 12 or 14, and then, you know, the grandkids start having kids. You know, it becomes quite a crowd. So I'm not sure. But as a kid growing up, and even into young adulthood, there were no homosexual people, men or women, in my family. However, from a very, very early age, I understood, after I got past the gay bashing, that most boys growing up in Toledo, Ohio, and probably the rest of the United States, went through as a rite of passage. After I got past the gay bashing stage and started to understand that I had friends who happened to be gay, it kind of opened my eyes to bigotry, just like having... friends who were who back in the day we called them colored friends, you know, African American friends, opened my eyes to that. I got a few more things to say about this right after the break. Stick around.
Come on, people, now it's not only brother, everybody gets together.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Extreme close-ups of nature's family relationships may not show the whole picture. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The scientific tree of life is much like a big family tree. It shows how different species are related. This idea has been around for more than 250 years, but the tree of life keeps changing. New findings allow scientists to rearrange branches, or at least some of the twigs. For example, researchers have been looking at small parts of an organism's genetic makeup called ribosomal RNA, but that might be too narrow a focus. Jonathan Eisen, a biologist at the Institute for Genomic Research in Rockville, Maryland, is using a relatively new approach that takes a broader view. Eisen studies all the genetic material in bacteria to determine how different species are related.
If we look at the entire genetic content of different bacteria and ask how are all of the genes related to all of the genes from another bacteria, do we get the same answer that people got by studying a single gene, this ribosomal RNA? And can we use this study of the whole genome to get a more precise picture of how bacteria are related to each other and how the history of bacteria occurred over time?
Eisen says the organism Microsporidia is an example. It was thought to be an unusual parasite related to humans and plants.
More recently, someone has sequenced the whole genome of one of these organisms, and analyzing all of the proteins from the genome of this organism, people have come to the conclusion that, in fact, this is a fungi. It's nothing unusual at all. The ribosomal RNA gene from this organism was what was unusual.
Gaining a more accurate understanding of nature's linkages has real-world applications. For example, doctors can now use drugs designed to treat fungal diseases to fight Microsporidia infections. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. What I was trying to get to there, we're talking, by the way, about the decision by the Massachusetts Supreme Court, the ruling today of 4-3, that essentially opens the door for same-sex marriage in that state on an equal protection basis. You cannot have laws. You just can't. I don't care how many of these supposed Christian right-wing fundamentalist freaks wants to scream about it and talk about the Bible and Leviticus and so on and so forth. And again, the challenge to you right-wing lurkers out there who use Christ as a battering ram rather than using his teachings as a method of love and understanding, if you can produce for me anything in the Bible anywhere where Jesus condemned homosexuals, please do so. Again, of his 12 disciples, probably 3 or 4 of them were gay anyway. But That's what we're talking about, that ruling by Massachusetts Supreme Court. And we're going to wrap it up here fairly quickly. But the issue took on an extra dimension for me, a personal dimension, when the gay Holocaust, and I mean no disrespect to what is labeled the capital H Holocaust that occurred in thanks to the Nazis during World War II, but the AIDS crisis, Holocaust, that hit this country in the late 70s and through the 80s, frankly, I lost a lot of friends. Now, I'm not weeping and wailing over that. These were friends. These were people I knew. The loss to their lovers and family was felt on a much deeper level than the loss was felt by me. I acknowledge that. It was terrifying, though. It was sad. There was a period in the late 80s and in the early 90s where it seemed like every weekend there was another funeral of folks that I knew that I cared about and respected and admired and worked with or just friends, you know, just people to hang out with. And to watch this slaughter that occurred in this country, and to hear the condemnation heaped on sick people, physically sick people, by religious right wingers, it was disgusting. What few shreds I had left of an attempt to form some sort of belief based on Christian religious values were blown into a million pieces during that period of time. When I heard everybody from Billy Graham to street preachers condemning homosexuals, just unzipping their pants and urinating all over people who were dying hideous deaths, and these deaths were hideous, and it was deeply felt by me and other people, other non-homosexual people. I had a lot of women friends and a lot of straight men friends who just week after week after week going to these funerals. People in the prime of their life, prime of their careers, dying. Why? Because they had sex. For God's sake, because they had sex. Because they had unprotected sex. And we used to sit around, the heteros would sit around and talk about, Jesus, you know, if we were to die on the same ratio, because heterosexuals, as a direct result of our unprotected sex. You understand what I'm saying? But to see the bigotry and the hatred heaped on people, I had at one time I had two friends for whom I was providing reefers so they could get through their treatments, their chemo and the wasting disease, trying to desperately to activate some appetite, and it was awful. It was heart-wrenching to see these young men die, you know, one after another, in their 20s and 30s and 40s, some of them in their 40s. It was just... And to add to the sadness and the horror of all of that back in the 80s and 90s was this constant drumbeat of bigotry and the kind of murderous prejudice that to me was just unforgivable. And it all came from the right wing. None of it came from liberals. It all came from these filthy, creepy conservatives. How many Americans died? 70, 80,000 before the word HIV or AIDS slipped past these putrefying lips of Ronald Reagan. It was awful. It was horrible. So, yeah, am I emotionally tied into this issue? Yeah, I sure am. I sure am. So when I see victories like the one handed to gay people today by the Massachusetts Supreme Court, or when I know that two provinces in Canada and I think, is it Belgium or a couple of European countries acknowledge same-sex unions now, I applaud that. I in my little personal, private, quiet, internal way, I celebrate those victories because it makes me think that, you know, the people who that I knew and cared about, and in some cases loved, who died is...